The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Come to you from the Kurt Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. I got a lot to get to. Let's just jump right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Did I hear a promo? Beto O'Rourke's the biggest name to jump into the presidential race? Is that, what I heard?
Today.
I believe you did.
Today.
Biggest name today.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, I guess he's the only person today. That's the only way to be the biggest name. So here's, I watched his whole speech this morning. And what I find ironic, Jazz Shaw, who's a columnist I really like, the CNN anchors, as Jazz Shaw said, they all were acting like they had just won a free trip to the Orchids of Asia Spa. They were so excited about Beto O'Rourke this morning. They were just orgasmic about this guy. And so, and I was thinking, it's odd to me. It's so strange because Beto O'Rourke is a Democrat version of everything they hate about Trump. A guy with not much political experience, a guy who married a billionaire. His wife's dad is a billionaire real estate developer. When he was on the El Paso City Council, Beto O'Rourke led this controversial push for downtown redevelopment. Guess who made a bunch of money off the downtown redevelopment? Well, his billionaire father-in-law. I mean, all of the stuff that Democrats hate about Trump, Beto is. But, I mean, he's the, and then they're all saying he's the white Barack Obama. No, actually, Barack Obama was a senator. Barack Obama was far more accomplished. Barack Obama didn't just lose a race when he ran for president. Like, Beto can win his Senate seat against Ted Cruz. And so then I'm watching his speech this morning at a coffee shop in Keokuk, Iowa. And it's so distracting watching him talk because he looks like those guys who are waving the airlines into the gate. Just my arms are flying everywhere while he's talking. And so here's Beto on the Green New Deal. Guess what? He's all for it.
This is our final chance. The scientists are absolutely unanimous on this, that we have no more than 12 years to take incredibly bold action on this crisis. My gratitude then for the young people who have stepped up to offer such a bold proposal.
Okay, so he's pushing this nonsense that we have 12 years. They've pulled this number out of their rear, that 12 years from now, the planet hits the tipping point. Eh, no, Al Gore said 2012 was going to be the tipping point. Ah, they were wrong about that. The scientific consensus was wrong. 40 years ago, they said a new ice age is coming. That was the scientific consensus. They're wrong about that. Now they're just throwing out 12 years. Everything ends. Oh, and by the way, they always quote the scientific consensus. A brand new survey shows that zero top U.S. economists agree with the basic principles of economic theory supported by Ocasio-Cortez and spelled out in the Green New Deal. Zero economists think that it is anywhere near logical. So I guess we're supposed to believe educational consensus when it comes to climate change. We're supposed to ignore educational consensus when it comes to economic principles. I mean, they're just all over the board. Okay, so this guy's a grifter. He marries a billionaire. He scams downtown redevelopment for his father-in-law. in El Paso. He's flailing his arms around like a madman.
For the young people who have stepped up to offer such a bold proposal to meet such a grave challenge, they say that we should do nothing less than marshal every single resource in this country to meet that challenge.
Okay, really? So let me ask you this. Marshal every single resource in this country because of the gravest threat we face, being climate change. So, question for Jay Inslee, for Beto, for everyone who says we should marshal every force. Do you believe we should send the U.S. military in to knock off the Chinese and Indian governments because they're the world's biggest polluters? I mean, if you believe that we have to save the planet, then and marshal every force, I would assume that would include military action against the world's biggest polluters, right? No. See, they don't really mean anything that they say because it's not about saving the planet. Raising the gas tax 60 cents a gallon here in Washington isn't going to do a thing for the planet, but it'll transfer billions of dollars from you and me to them. And that's what this whole, you know, climate change argument's about. A global one world government takeover of all economies because we have to marshal every force except military.
Greenhouse gases and carbon. And we must also invest in the technology that will allow us to claim some of it that's in the air right now. Can we make it? I don't know. It's up to every single one of us. Do you want to make it?
Yeah.
Because your kids, my kids, you know, Ulysses, who in 2050...
Oh, time out. Ulysses? Your son's name is Ulysses? Nah. Hey, a guy named Dory has absolutely no room to talk about names. But seriously, Ulysses? But he's everything the Democrats hate about Trump. But he's a Democrat. So, and that's the thing. They don't hate Trump. They really don't. They hate the fact that the president's a Republican. And let's see here. Oh, here's one of the things he also wants. He wants to make sure that people on the ranch land in Texas, from whence he comes, that they can get some hot dates.
In Texas, we have a problem with broadband in rural communities. You may have that in Iowa as well, where farmers and ranchers and producers literally cannot get online, where people cannot start businesses in their hometown or finish their education after high school because they can't get online. They can't go to Tinder and find a date tonight to find that special person who's going to make the difference in their lives. I want to make sure every American has that opportunity.
Hey, Beto, you think the farmers and ranchers are going to go on Tinder? Go to Tinder? They go to Farmers Only, for crying out loud. If you don't even know what dating service the farmers use, how in the world can you expect to be president of the United States? So it was hilarious when he's, you know, flailing around like a madman today when I heard Trump asked about him jumping into the race.
Well, I think he's got a lot of hand movement. I've never seen so much hand movement. I said, is he crazy or is that just the way he acts? So I've never seen hand movement. I watched him a little while this morning doing, I assume it was some kind of a news conference. And I've actually never seen anything quite like it. Study it. I'm sure you'll agree.
Beto's the latest to jump into the race. Let's take it closer to home. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
So I went off at the beginning of the show today about this insane Jenny Durkin press conference. She's pushing a $213 million levy for the Seattle libraries. $213 million. And why? Why would people have to raise their property taxes to give $213 million to the libraries?
As a city, we are absolutely committed to lifting up communities who have been historically underserved. We do that throughout all of our work, and nowhere is that more important, I think, than the library system, which stands for so much about how we are as a better community. I'm committed to, as mayor, and I know the council is committed as well, to making sure that our libraries are open to every resident in the city of Seattle. That's one reason why, in a step for equity, we look across the system. We have to remove as many barriers as possible. So we will be eliminating all of the overdue library fines.
So, and I told the story a couple hours ago. You can go listen to the podcast. But when I was 10 years old, I lost a Roberto Clemente biography that I checked out from the Ballard Library. I still remember. I was freaked out at how irresponsible I was. My mom said we're going to have to pay for the book to replace it. She was freaked out because we didn't have any money. Now the new standard is, oh, you got overdue books? We'll raise people's property taxes to pay your fines. And, of course, the message is, why would you ever return a book? I mean, and it's also the bigotry of low expectations that Jenny Durkin presumes, apparently, when she says it's underserved communities. It's minority communities is what, that's the new buzzword. So you believe that some people, based on their race and their ethnicity, Jenny, can't return library books? Isn't that a little bigoted of you? But, yeah, we can't have library fines anymore.
We want to make sure people can come in or from their home, get in circulation, enjoy, and not have a barrier to a library or to a place of learning. We find that barriers are real, that fines are barriers in ways that they really shouldn't be and they don't need to be. And we can have a better system, and through this levy, we will have a better system.
Fines are barriers. Because if you haven't returned 18 books, we can't turn you away from the library. Hey, I got a new scam for all the drug vagrants. Make sure you get a library card, because we want the libraries to be open to everybody. And then you can just take as many books as you want. Sell them for pennies on the dollar so you can get a heroin fix. And then we'll raise people's property taxes to pay your fine. It'll be a beautiful thing. It'll be a cash cow for the heroin addicts. Oh, and for city council members like Deborah Juarez.
I also want to say and thank the mayor for waiving the late fees, so I will be first in line for amnesty.
Deborah Juarez can't return a book on time, but she can help manage a multi-billion dollar city budget. Deborah Juarez is going to be first in line to have a property tax increase so that she doesn't return books on time? Well, that's kind of convenient for her. But I went through this entire Jenny Durkin speech. Oh, my goodness. You know what it's all about? It's about equity, you know.
We will make sure that our public library system, more than ever, opens its doors for opportunity and for equity.
Yes. Yes, we must have equity. How much equity must we have?
The Seattle Public Library really advances equity.
Well, then raise my property taxes. Now, I mean, if it's about equity. Hey, how about that lying city councilman, Rob Johnson, who got hired by the hockey team in town?
He is such a strong voice for equity across this city.
Ah, man, now we're going to lose Rob Johnson. Well, it all balances out. We'll raise your property taxes so that people can steal library books in the name of equity. But that'll counterbalance losing lying city councilman Rob Johnson, because we're going to lose equity there. So raising your property taxes will just keep us at equity equilibrium. And we'll get some more technology in the library, too.
We see technology taking off in a way that is so profound. But with that, that increase can also increase a divide in inequities.
Oh, wait a second now. Okay, so I got to do the math here. So you raise your property taxes. People cannot return books to the library. That increases equity. Rob Johnson leaving the city council. We're losing equity there. We're putting more technology money in the libraries, but technology produces inequities. I don't know how that all adds up on the equity scale. Does anybody have an equity calculator? I only have one that calculates numbers. If you have an equity calculator, can you run the numbers for me? Or better yet, if you have a UNIVAC computer program for this. But if you can calculate the equity balance, I'd really, really appreciate it. So that's where we are. We've gone from me as a kid freaking out because I lost a Roberto Clemente biography, feeling irresponsible, being sick about it, and still remembering that to this day, 48 years later. We've gone from that to, you don't have to bring the bucks back. Let's raise somebody else's property taxes. It's all about equity. See, and in case you missed it, we had a lot of Robot Jenny on display, too. Robot Jenny was where she emphasizes certain words to show how sincere she is.
They provide that first educational opportunity for...
Actually, she sounds like she might be having a little intestinal discomfort. First, it provides that first. But no, it's just her being super sincere.
They provide that first educational opportunity for so many of our children, but then they stay with them their whole lives.
Reminds me of the early YouTube sensation where somebody put together a montage of scammer televangelist Robert Tilton. And if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to try to describe it now, but that's what she sounds like, first. But it just shows her sincerity when she emphasizes certain words. Robot Jenny.
They are now a central place where people come together.
They are now a central place. You got a Tums?
We have to make sure that the libraries of the future are the libraries that will serve the community of the future. This is such an important time for the city of Seattle in so many ways.
Yeah, and it's only going to cost you nothing.
If you look at the levy, the renewal amount, the amounts that have been added is about, for the average homeowner, about $1.50 a month. $1.50 a month.
It's just $1.50? It's not even $1.50. It's $1.50. On top of what you're already paying for a library levy. For me, I pay hundreds of dollars a year in property taxes that goes to the King County Libraries, which is one of the most intolerant, uncommunicative places in all of public life, the King County Library System. For places that preach tolerance and equity and diversity, I tell you what, if you dare question how your tax dollars are being spent by the King County Library, ooh, they will not talk to you. So anyway, it's all about equity. That's why we got to raise your taxes. Pay those fines, kids. That is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
First, let's go check the news, and then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next. I'm getting a lot of messages on the Online Trading Academy text line, which is 98973, from people who want to know, now that Jenny Durkin wants to raise property taxes so Deborah Juarez won't have to return books on time, what's going to happen to Mr. Bookman, the library cop?
Really, I have to remember that.
You took this book out in 1971.
Yes, and I returned it in 1971.
Yeah, 71. That was my first year on the job. Bad year for libraries. Bad year for America. Hippies burning library cards. Abby Hoffman telling everybody to steal books. I don't judge a man by the length of his hair or the kind of music he listens to. Rock was never my bag. But you put on a pair of shoes when you walk into the New York Public Library, fella.
Look, Mr. Bookman...
Yeah, lots of people are texting about that. I don't know. Mr. Bookman's going to be out of a gig now in Seattle because you can just keep the books as long as you want. Drug vagrants. I wonder if they can, in the name of equity, can the drug vagrants just steal furniture from the libraries now? We'll raise the property taxes to pay for that, too. What? Why not? If not, why not? Because that seems horribly unfair. And I sure hope that we can keep the porn free and available to everyone at the public libraries, as it is now, in the name of, you know, equity. Okay, with all that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the day.
Our Awesome Audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Oh, man, I hate to read you something so unpleasant, but it comes from a very prominent Democrat, so it can't be that unpleasant. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's office just sent out a tweet. It says, New York City. There are only four things that should go in your toilet. Poop, pee, puke, and toilet paper. Everything else causes fatbergs. What are fatbergs? Well, conveniently, they then included a link to this catchy new commercial that New York City is putting out to tell people how to use a toilet.
Number three.
Cooking grease, wet wipes, and lots of other stuff get flushed down the sewers, creating fatbergs that clog pipes and drain wallets. You can keep things running smoothly by properly disposing of these items. Trash it, don't flush it.
Where would we be if we didn't have government telling us how to use a toilet? Bless their hearts. Okay, number two in the Awesome Audio. So, do we know why Katie Couric released this video? So
she is doing a special, I believe, on paternity leave, something about that.
Parental leave?
I think she's doing...
Just for dads.
For dads. Okay. I believe that's what her...
Okay.
Her special is about.
So to help promote it, Katie Couric has tweeted out an 28-year-old. It didn't compute in my mind. I thought it was 1991. I thought, that can't be 28 years ago.
Yes.
91?
Yes.
It was. 1991 is 28 years ago. So Katie Couric sent out how... And she was enjoying it at the time, but now in retrospect, what a Neanderthal Bryant Gumbel was when it comes to parental leave.
Number two.
I'm going to miss you terribly.
Yeah, thank you very much. What are you going to do for the next 6 weeks, 8 weeks? How long are you gone?
I'm gone for 9 weeks.
Why so long?
Well,
remember the good old days, you know,
when they just squatted in those fields and just came right back
into
the house.
Come on back to work, you know.
Cooked those men up a big old supper.
That's right.
Those days.
That's right.
Those days are over.
Get my vittles on the table.
That's right.
Get them vittles
out
there.
Those days are history.
Can you imagine how fast Bryant Gumbel would be fired if he said that today?
It's even crazy jokingly. How much times have changed.
Well, but has Bryant Gumbel changed? Because he's an uber liberal now. Has he changed that much that he used to think, yeah, you should come right back to work after you have a baby? And now I bet he's the, you know, parental leave for everybody guy. Has he changed, or does he just have to conform because we need to have leftist groupthink in the country? And if Bryant wants to be a good leftist in 2019, I bet he hasn't evolved that much. He just acts like he has because he must. You could get away with that stuff 28 years ago, 1991. Oh, and we played for you earlier a clip from Full House where Lori Loughlin's character and John Stamos, they were trying to, Stamos was trying to grease the skids for their kids' preschool application. And it was like, okay, Lori Loughlin's involved in this college admission scandal now. Well, this is even worse. This just came out. This is an interview that she did a couple of years ago talking about the kid that she helped scam into USC.
number one.
You know what I don't ever do? I never push my kids to. I always say, do the best you can. I was never that kid. They're fought my husband too. Their dad never. We were never like at school. You got to get straight A's. You got. We were never those parents. We were always like, you know what? Give it your all. Do the best you can.
Yeah, and if the best you can isn't good enough, then we'll just buy your way in to USC.
At school, you got to get straight A's. You got. We were never those parents. We were always like, you know what? Give it your all. Do the best you can. Because in life, if you give it your all and you do the best you can, that's it. That's all you can do, and that's enough. In my opinion, especially with kids, I think we put so much pressure and stress on them. A lot of it is unnecessary.
that little interview clip hasn't worn very well for her. Oh, man. All of that is our favorite awesome audio of the day.
Those are Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day on 97.3 Cairo FM.
Brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Coming up. Today's sign, the end is near. I'll see if I can squeeze in three stories, including the latest university sports team mascot to come under fire. You gotta hear this. It's coming up next. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Woo! This has been a good week. I mean, I'm usually proud of our show. This week, I'm feeling really especially proud of some of the stuff we've been doing. And I'm swelling with pride for the upcoming edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start in Pennsylvania. It's the Keystone State, I think. I could be wrong about that. A 44-year-old man has been arrested for drunk driving in Pennsylvania. A breath test, according to cops, revealed that his blood alcohol content was more than double the legal limit. The man's name? Daniel Sober. Sober has been charged with drunk driving and careless driving. After being booked, Sober was released on his own recognizance. You see, his name is Sober, but he was driving drunk. You get it? See the irony in that? This could only happen in Trump's America. Let's take you down to Florida, Cocoa Beach, A 47-year-old Florida woman has been arrested on allegations that she tried to kill her boyfriend because he snored too loudly. And I tell you what, if my wife had the same standards as this woman, I'd be dead 10,000 times. Crying out loud. 30 years, my wife said, to put up with this. Ugh. Feel bad. Yeah, and then when, you know, Cairo won't pay for two hotel rooms and they make Dave Wyman and me room together at the Super Bowl in New York City, poor Dave, standing over my bed 4 a.m., he's got his foot on the bed, shaking the mattress. Dory, you got to stop snoring. I feel bad about it. Anyway, according to deputies, the shooting happened just yesterday. Lori Morin was arrested on charges of attempted murder and aggravated battery. According to the investigation, the shooting occurred during a domestic violence incident because the man was snoring too loudly. The dispute escalated and Morin retrieved and fired a shotgun, striking her boyfriend. According to police, alcohol may have been a factor. Both had been drinking before the shooting occurred. And then finally in today's sign, some professors at the University of Wyoming are demanding that the university get rid of their mascot and their sports team nickname. Because, you know, the University of Wyoming is the Cowboys. According to critics, Cowboys is racist, sexist, and xenophobic. Don't tell George Strait that.
I take off time to time with those crazy friends of mine. Head out on steel horses with wheels and we ride. We burn up that road to old Mexico, blend in with the desert, just we amigos, and we roll.
Yeah.
Cowboys like us sure do have fun, racing the wind, chasing the sun, take the long.
Did you know how sexist, racist, and xenophobic this song is? A professor of kinesiology and health, Christine Porter, wrote, "I am not the only person for whom the word cowboy invokes a white, macho, male, able-bodied, heterosexual, U.S.-born person." She covered all the grievances there. The history of cowboys, of course, is much more diverse than that racially, and presumably also for sexual orientation. Yeah, you ever see Brokeback Mountain, for crying out loud? But the image, what the word cowboy means off the top of almost everybody's head in the U.S. is the white, heterosexual male. And of course, there is nothing more evil in America than white heterosexual males. They're the bane of my existence, I know that. The university says it is going to stand by the cowboy nickname. A student at the university said, "There's an outrage culture on our campuses, and everybody wants to be a part of the newest outrage. And a couple of people at the University of Wyoming, I guess, just wanted a bite at that apple," said student Jesse Leach. "I was born and raised in Wyoming, and I've never once related the word cowboy with genocide, xenophobia, or anything like that," she said. Wow, she should be drummed out of school for not being offended.
Cowboys like us.
And all of that is today's sign. The end is near. I gotta get out of here. I've simply said everything I have to say for today.
Like us.
I'll go home and think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's Friday extravaganza. Kenny, Mike, and Todd are coming up next. And I will see you back here tomorrow. Hi, noon.
That's all, folks.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.